couple of days it's going to be like Boimer, and I want to speak a little bit about the inyan of the simcha of Lag BaOmer. The inyan of the simcha of Lag BaOmer is brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that we don't say Tachnun on Lag BaOmer, and the Rama adds Noigim to be Misamech Ktsas on Lag BaOmer. Others say we're Noigim to be Misamech Harbi on Lag BaOmer. But there's an inyan of being Misamech on Lag BaOmer. We don't say Tachnun. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch, the reason that's said over there is because that's the day that the Talmid of Rebbe Kiva were Paskul Lamos. They stopped dying on that day, and because of that, there's a Simcha. That's what's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, nothing to do with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Magen Avraham brings down B'Shem D'Arizal, the other reason for the Simcha, because of the Yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. What's so happy about the Yahrzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? What it's brought down in the Zohar, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was nifter. At that moment, before he was nifter, there were tremendous amounts of giloy, of Torah, of Torah Sanistar, of Torah Reb Shimon Bar Yochai that was given over in the world, and that's a day of simcha. So you have the inyan of Paskul Lamos, the Talmid of Rebbe Kiva stopped dying, and you have the inyan of the Hilula, the Yahrzeit of Rashbi, of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Those are the two inyanim. And there's a question on both of them. First of all, on the reason that it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we're mesameach and Lag BaOmer is because the Talmidim stopped dying. The Pri Chodesh in the Shulchan Aruch asks, Bishloima, if there were a lot of Talmidim Rebbe Kiva, many were nifter, and then it was Paskul Amos, and some were left over. So Baruch Hashem, the Magefa didn't hit everybody. Someone was left. So we're mesameach, at least someone was left. That's not what happened. The Gemara says in Yevamos, in the story of the Talmidei Rabbi Kiva, that between Pesach and Shavuos, the 24,000 Talmidim were mesu, v'hoysu ha'olam shamein. The world was desolate because there were no Talmidim left of Rabbi Kiva at all. No one was left. Until Rabbi Kiva came to the new Talmidim in the Dorim, it says in the Gemara, and then he found new Talmidim. But before that, no one was left. All the Talmidim of that yeshiva of Rabbi Kiva were totally wiped out. So what's so happy? Paskul Amos, that means the last one died, and now we make a simcha. What's the simcha of Paskul Amos? That's what the Pri Chodesh asks. What's the pshat in such a simcha? A very strong kasha. On the other reason, that the Magen Avraham says, the famous reason, because of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, so that itself we could understand, but the Magen Avraham alludes to a story that the Arizal brings down what happened, and that's a big question. The Magen Avraham says very short. He said there was something happened once that one of the Talmidim of the Arizal wasn't 100% Mesameach. He was Mitztayer on Lag BaOmer, and because of that, he was punished. What's the story behind that? So it's brought in other Svarim. The story was that the Arizal went with his Talmidim to Miron for Lag BaOmer, and there was a big simcha over there. One of the Talmidim of the Arizal, every single day, he was misabel on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he used to say Nachim. What we all say on Tisha B'Av, Nachim, he said it every day, because he was always misabel on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So when they were in Miron and they were davening Mincha, Kiher Geilo, like he always does, he also said Nachim. After davening, the Arizal approached him and said, did you say Nachim? He said, yeah. He said, well, after Shemoneh Esrei, or during Shemoneh Esrei, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself revealed himself to the Arizal, and he said, what is one of your Talmidim saying Nachim? He's saying Nachim on my Simcha. The day of my Simcha, he's saying Nachim. So he's going to need a Nachama. And right afterwards, that person's son was Nifter, and everyone came to be Menachemim. That's the story that's brought down. The Magen Avraham just hints to it, but that's the full story behind it. Apel de Gazach, he said Nachim, a tzaddik, says Nachim, Mis'abel on Yerushalayim, and because he said Nachim on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, on the day of Lag BaOmer, so there was such a akpod on him, akadekach, that he had this oynish. What's so terrible about saying Nachim? Don't we all know אם אשכחך ירושלים, תשכח ימיני, תדבק לשני לחיקי, אם לא יזכרכי, אם לא יעלס ירושלים, על ראש שמחוסי. By every simcha, by chasana, no matter what, we always do something that zecher l'chorim beis ha-mikdash, the biggest simcha. But on this simcha, by Lag Boimer, there was such a strong hakpada on him, akadekach, that that's the story that's brought down, the Bogan Avram brings it, that this person's son was nifter. How do we understand, if we can, try to understand at least something of this idea? So, it's like this. I want to say a few words about Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll get back to this inyan of Lag B'Omer. There's a pasuk in Parshas Kisavai. The pasuk says, Baruch Atah Ba'ir, U'Baruch Atah Basadeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch, Baruch Atah Ba'ir, Baruch Atah Basadeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a bracha Ba'ir, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a bracha Basadeh. What's ear and what's soda? So the Daskein in Bali Yatoysa on the Pasuk says, he talks about ear, he says ear is Tzion, ear is Yushalayim. And what does it mean, Baruch Atah Basoda? He says, soda is Tzion. Baruch Atah Basoda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a bracha in soda in Tzion. How do we know that Tzion is soda? Soda is Tzion? Because it says in the Pasuk, Tzion soda Secharish. Tzion, that means Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, will be plowed over like a soda. A soda that you want to plant in, you have to plow it. Tzion, Makom HaMikdash, will be plowed over like a soda. So when it says in the Torah, Baruch Atah Basoda, it's referring to Tzion. And the obvious question is, Tzion is referred to as a soda in something that's the exact opposite of bracha. Tzion soda secharesh is bracha, that's Baruch Atah Basoda, is Tzion soda secharesh. When Tzion is being plowed over like a field, that would appear to be the greatest klala for Tzion. Why would the Torah use the wording of Tzion of soda, Baruch Atah Basoda, which alludes to the inyan of Tzion soda secharesh? What's the pshat? So the son of Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Simcha, says the following pshat. Let's look for a moment at the act of chresha, the act of plowing. If a person has a beautiful field, grass growing, a nice open field, and he takes a plow and he starts ripping the field to pieces, he starts plowing the field. If you look at what he's doing without knowing the whole process of planting, you would think he's crazy. He has a beautiful field and he's taking these heavy, heavy kalim, these heavy tools, and start ripping it to pieces for no reason. But really, someone who knows and someone who waits patiently to see what happens knows that he's not doing it for nothing. He's not coming to destroy his field. This field that was nice, it had some grass in it, beautiful field. But after he does the chresha, after he plows, and he puts some seeds inside, and he covers it, and he waters it, and he tends to it, and he watches it, eventually the process will continue until something new and much better grows from that field. And he could make a lot of money from that. If he grows it properly, he grows good fruits, he grows good wheat, he could sell it and make a lot of money. The field beforehand was nice, but nothing was growing. From the chresha that he did, from the plowing that he did, eventually he was able to grow something more valuable than was there before. That's the act of chresha. When it says in the pasuk, Tzion soda secharesh, Tzion will be plowed over like a field, the pasuk is teaching us something very, very important. We refer to Beis HaMikdash being destroyed as a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Churban means destruction. Destruction means it's over. The pasuk reveals to us there's no such thing as Churban Beis HaMikdash. There was no Churban Beis HaMikdash. There was a Chresha of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was plowed over. It was a Chreshas Beis HaMikdash, not a Churban Beis HaMikdash. What's the difference? A Churban is it. You break down, it fell on the floor, and it's over. That's then. There's nothing that comes out of it. Chresha means that even if the act you looked at in an isolated way, you see destruction, but if you continue the process, and you plant, and you cover it, and you water, and you take care of it, and eventually you harvest it, That thing that looked so miserable in the beginning turned out really to be the beginning of a new and greater growth. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Don't think that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys, he destroys. He doesn't. He plows. He does the first step. He does the plowing. Now, it's our job. If someone plows his field and leaves, Hitaka destroyed it. But if he plows his field and then he plants seeds and something new grows, so he didn't destroy it all. It's a gilui milsa l'afreya that was the beginning of the growth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He plowed the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's up to us to figure out if it's destroyed or not. If we plant seeds in that destruction, and from that destruction something new grows, it was never a Chorban. It was the beginning of a new growth. If we don't do anything about it, it's destroyed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do the Chorban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Chresha. That's Baruch Atah Basodeh. Even when it's looking terrible, Tzion Sodeh Seichoresh, Baruch Atah, there's a bracha over there also. There's no such thing as pure Chorban. There's always the potential of new growth. That's the pshat that it says in the Navi, that La'asa Lavoi, after Mashiach comes, all the fast days that we had, that were all remembering the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, that's Asara B'Teves, that's Shivasa B'Tamas, that's Tisha B'Av, of course, Tzayim Gedalia, all the fast days that were because of the Chorban will turn into Yomim Toivim. They'll become a Yomtif. Why should they become a Yomtif? Why should Tisha B'Av become a Yomtif? Yomtif means something happy happened on that day. What happened? So fun. We'll forget all the tzaras of the Chorban. But what's Tisha B'Av going to turn into a Yomtif? The answer is like we said. Right now, Tisha B'Av is not a Yomtif. Right now, Tisha B'Av for us, all we see is the Chorban of it. But La'asa Lavi will understand that Chorban was a Chresha. And Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, with all the difficulties, planted new seeds into that Chresha, into that plowing. And eventually something new and greater will grow out of it. How could that be? Yes. The Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be on a bigger Madrega than the other ones. The other two Beit HaMikdashim got destroyed. Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi won't be destroyed. Klal Yisrael will reach eventually the full tikkun, the full perfection, eventually. Where'd that come from? From the seeds that were planted throughout the generations. That's the way it's going to come. So Mamela, La'asa Lavi, will be able to look back at the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed, and we won't see a Chorban anymore. We'll see a Chresha. And we'll see the great situation we're in now, and we'll say, when did that start? You know when that started? That started by the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But we'll view it now as a Chresha. So Mamela, those days will turn into a Yomtif. There's no such thing that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plows. We have to plant into it. And it's not just with Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which was a Chorban, a Chresha, on a Klal Yisrael level. It's for every single individual is the same thing. And I'll give an example with a story that I once heard, a beautiful story. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was Rosh Yeshiva in Eitz Chaim, over here, and he had a Talmud, and maybe this was when he was still in Europe, I don't know when the story happened, and he had a Talmud that was trying very hard to be successful in his learning, and it wasn't going in. And he tried again, and he tried again, and he wasn't getting it, and he wasn't having hatzlach in his learning. And he went to Rabbi Zalman, and he came to him crying. He said, I'm trying, and it's not going. So Rabbi Zalman told him, someone who keeps the Torah when he's poor will end up keeping it when he's rich. That's a Mishnah Novice. The simple meaning means poor money, rich money. He says, no, it also means ani and ashir and das. Now you're poor, and you're pulling through when you're poor, eventually you'll go, and you'll become rich in the Torah as well. That's what he told him. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, who was Rabbi Zalman's son-in-law, was there in the house when this story happened. And afterwards, Rabbi Aaron went to a side room, and Rabbi Aaron was crying. And someone saw Rabbi Aaron cry. So what happened? He said, Rabbi Aaron, everyone knows, Rabbi Aaron was a genius. He was a brilliant genius. And Rabbi Aaron said, I was never Makayim the Torah Me'ayni. I was always Makayim the Torah Me'ayshah. It always went easy for me. He worked very hard anyway. He didn't just rely on his brilliance. He worked very hard. But well, the hardship that sometimes we have to understand something over and over, Baron, things flew all over the place. He was crying that he wasn't Mekayim the Torah, me oini. What was he crying about, Rabaron? Rabaron was the Gadol Hador. The Torah of Rabaron is brilliant Torah. This person was barely able to get through Pshat. He couldn't get it. What's Rabaron crying? Whose Torah is on a higher level? Rabaron's Torah or this little Bachar's Torah? What's he crying about? Rabaron, through his brilliance, through his Oysher, he was able to be Mechadish all this great Chidushet Torah. The answer is you're right. Rabaron was on a very high Madrega, and it brought him to Madrega's. His brilliance brought him to very high Madrega's in Torah. It's 100% true. But there's something, there's some connection to Torah that this person who was an Ani, and he couldn't, it was so hard for him, there was a certain connection to Torah that he was able to reach that Rab Aaron couldn't. Because of Rab Aaron's brilliance, he couldn't get there. This connection, this Mesiras Nefesh, this pulling through, even though he's an Ani, Rab Aaron couldn't reach that. So on the one hand, the Anius, the fact that he couldn't learn properly, was a Churban for him. Yes, it was a Churban. But because he planted seeds that was able to grow something that Rab Aaron Kotler couldn't grow either. And it's the same thing with any situation, any difficult situation that a person is put in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on his plate, we have to always realize that it's not a Churban. It's a Chresha. It's a planting. The question is what you do with it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu plowed and you walk off, it remains a destruction. But if we figure out a way from within this quote-unquote destruction, there's a way to plant and bring about something different and better and unique from that place of Churban, we turned it around into a Chresha. And eventually, when we get there, we could look back and have a Yom Tov from that time of Chresha. What appeared to be this Churban, this misery, ends up being the beginning of the biggest growth. It ends up being the most growing and simcha possible. That's the Indian of Chresha and Churban. That's Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, as far as the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, it says in the Gemara, everyone knows that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim, the Kulan Mesu Beperak Echor, from Pesach till Shavuos, until Lag BaOmer, and it says in the Gemara, Hoysa Olam Shamim, the world was desolate, that means all the Talmidim were killed out. Ad Shabo Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shebedorim, until he came to the new Talmidim that he had, the five Talmidim, and he shone on them and he taught them Torah. And then the world filled up again with Torah. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were back in business, and the Torah already got back to Klal Yisrael. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the world was desolate, Ad Shabo Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shebedorim, that they were in the south. Who cares that these Rabbi Seinu were in the south? Why is that relevant? Rabbi Akiva lost the 24,000 Talmidim until they found five more. What's the Rabbi Seinu Shebedorim? Why is the Gemara emphasizing the fact that they were in the south? I think the reason is like this. Rabbi Akiva was in the north. Rabbi Akiva is buried in the north. I think Rabbi Akiva, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, also the Messiah, they're in the north. Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva was in the north, in Tveria area. His Talmidim died out, and Rabbi Akiva had no Talmidim left. He was really an older person. He could have retired. But like the Gemara says, even when you get older, keep going. And Rabbi Akiva knew that he has a mission, that he has to find new Talmidim. I assume first he looked around his neighborhood to find new Talmidim. There was no one there. And he kept desperately searching until he kept going and going until he got all the way down to the Dorum. Finally, over there, he found the Talmidim. That's part, and some of the Gemara is coming to emphasize the Mesiras Nefesh of Rabbi Akiva. He didn't just give up. And he didn't just give up after trying in the north, but he kept searching and searching and searching until he got all the way down to the south. And then he found his new Talmidim. That's what the Gemara is saying. But if that's true, we could assume that if Rabbi Akiva didn't lose all of his Talmidim, he would have never went to the south. The reason why he went to the Dorum was because he had no Talmidim left and he had to restart. But if he would have had some Talmidim left, he would have stayed up north. That means the five Talmidim that came after were only a result of the Misa, of the death of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Who was one of those five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that he met in the Dorim? Was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what the Gemara says. He was one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That means if not for the Misas Talmid Rabbi Akiva, we could assume that Rabbi Akiva would have never met up down in the Dorim with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he wouldn't have taught him Torah. The Gemara says in Gittin that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said his Madrega in Torah that he reached was only from Rabbi Akiva. He only became what he became was Machmas Rabbi Akiva. That means Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would not have become Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai if not for the fact that Rabbi Akiva met him, and Rabbi Akiva would have never met him, we could assume, if the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't die. In Cain, if we look back, when did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reach his highest Madrega? You know when he reached his highest Madrega? On Lag BaOmer. That's what it says in the Zohar. That on Lag BaOmer, he revealed right before he was Nifter all these tremendous Seudas HaTorah, which we don't understand. And that was the tremendous Simcha that goes till today. And that was the highest Madrega of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. When did this process begin? When Rabbi Akiva taught him Torah. And when did that process begin? When it was Mesu, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So I could say, in the way we were talking about before, the fruits of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai became ripe on Lag BaOmer. When was the Chresha? When was the plowing? The plowing was Misas Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. Misas Talmidim Rabbi Akiva looked like the worst tragedy in Klal Yisrael. Hoysa Olam Shomein, the Gemara says that the world was completely desolate of Torah. That's the worst tragedy in Klal Yisrael. And it looked like the worst Chorban. And it was a Chorban until seeds were replanted. Rabbi Kiva found new Talmidim, replanted the seeds. And when did those seeds grow into the best fruits? On Lag BaOmer itself. So just like Imitz Hashem Va'asa Lavoi, we're going to see Tzion Soda Secharesh. We'll turn it into a Yomtif. It'll become a Yomtif Tisha B'Av, because we'll view Tisha B'Av not as a Chorban, as the beginning of a bigger growth. On a smaller level, on a local level, that's what happened with Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Talmid Rabbi Akiva went Nifter, it's a Chorban. When did we realize it's not a Chorban? On Lag BaOmer, the years later, when Shem Bayechai was Nifter. So now, it became a Yomtif. That answers the kasha of the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh says they all died. You're going to make a happy day of that? They all died. No one was left. The answer is yes. Just like Tisha B'Av will be a Yomtif, Misas Talmid Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer was revealed as a Yomtif. Because now we saw the Chresha behind it. At the moment, we couldn't understand that it was a tragedy. Later on, we realized that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan of a Chresha, a plowing for the future growth. So the time that the Shulchan Aruch brings, because it's Paskulamus, they stop dying. And the Tam that the Arizal says because of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is all one thing. The beginning of the process was then, and the end of the process was later on. And that's the reason why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai possibly had Akpoda on the Nachim. Nachim is Churban Beis HaMikdash. On this day of Lag BaOmer, where it's revealed, at least on this level, there's no such thing as Churban. There's no such thing as Chorban. Misas Talmid Rabbi Akiva, on this day of the worst tragedy that Klal Yisrael suffered, of Misas Talmid Rabbi Akiva, was able to be revealed as a Simcha. Now you're saying Nachem. Now is at this day, we have like the Me'ein of the Asa Lavoi, where it's a Yomtif. And now we see the Chresha, we see the Tzion Tzadach Zechoresh, and we don't see the Chorban Bechlal. That's the Simcha, and that's why nothing could disturb the Simcha on Lag BaOmer. That's possibly the Inyan. So that's something for us to remember. Every single person, we're talking about one type of a Chorban of Klal Yisrael as a whole. Every single person throughout his life, throughout his year, throughout his month, throughout his week, throughout his day sometimes, has certain things that are a Chorban. And sometimes they say, a Chorban, I'm done. It's not true. There's no Chorban. There's Chresha. And that's a special avodah to be thinking about in Lag BaOmer. It's no Chorban. There's no such thing as Chorban. There's no Klal Yisrael Chorban. There's no personal Chorban. There's Chresha. There's plowing. The question is what you do with it. If you'll ignore it and leave it, it's destroyed. We always have to figure out the way, okay, it happened. Whatever the Chorban was, whatever the bump in the road that I had, whatever difficulty it was, there's so many difficulties that people encounter, how do I plant the next seed? That's the avodah. Like Bo'imer, we could appreciate that, because that's what happened. That was the post-Kulamis. We're not being mis'abel that they all died. Adarabah, that was the Chresha. That's the inyan of the Simcha, Lag Bo'imer. And Mitz Hashem, Simcha should be complete. And the lesson of Tziyah and Sada Secharesh, that there's always potential to bring something even better out of the Churban, out of the Chresha that we experience, that's the Limud from Lag Bo'imer.